My name is Warren Thornton. As an 18-year-old, I went into the army. I became a military sniper for 6 years. And then for 8 years after that, I worked in war-torn areas looking after people who were aid workers. So I got to know quite a lot of journalists, military attachés.
Just a minute. As a sniper, this is seen by some as a kind of cowardly war sort of thing that used to go on in the First World War. Did you ever kill anybody?
I had two in the Falklands, yeah. But I also had somebody coming out of a trench, and it wasn't very good.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a sort of ethics about the idea of someone maybe even half a mile away, suddenly, boom, they're gone.
Yeah. No, when you're considering that we're talking about people who would have shot you, so they had snipers, it's just very, very straightforward. If you don't kill them, they're going to kill your friends.
Did you get picked up because you were just a good shot?
Yes, I did. I went into the Royal Corps of Transport to start with to become a lorry driver. That's all I ever wanted to be. And I passed my basic training, went to RAF Leconfield, where they were doing the basic training at Beverley and Hull. And halfway through, I'd done my car licence, and halfway through my truck licence, I got called into the office and got told, anybody who can shoot like you can, son's not driving a truck for him.
For someone that's actually been through the armed forces, what's your view of the military here now? Because there's a lot of criticism of the reduction of numbers, particularly.
Oh, it's terrible. I mean, the RCT have been amalgamated. Now they're the logistics corps. So you generally, back then you had the REMI. We've shrunk the army down so much that you've got maybe 80,000 troops, but only, I would say, 30,000 of them are actually really active fighting troops. You've got a lot of admin in there, catering corps. Don't get me wrong, they can pick up a rifle, but they've never been in a war or a battle. And that, you know, is, and if we go, when you consider that 120,000 people were lost in Bakhmut just by the Ukrainians alone, if we were to put boots on the ground there, which looks like they want to do.
So what made you get into video blogging? Back to the original question. This is, it does take something, doesn't it, to put yourself out there in public.
Does.
And obviously, to begin with, you're not going to get that many hits, but you've started to accumulate followers and viewers and listeners, haven't you?
Yeah, I started out because all my friends that were in those areas, people in embassies, people in who were aid workers, people who were in, journalists, they weren't picking up their stories on mainstream media. So they sort of asked me if I'd do it. So I needed some sort of cover. So I went and got myself accredited to the International Federation of Journalists, which took me about 6 months. And then I started blogging on TikTok. Mainly, and I thought I'd be talking to 20 people, and it turned out in the space of 3 months I was talking to 40,000.
Why TikTok?
Because I thought I could reach a wider audience faster.
This is the Chinese government, isn't it? Chinese Communist Party.
Yeah, if you believe it. But I always believe I went on TikTok because Facebook was shutting people down. Twitter at that time was shutting people down. And I thought TikTok and Rumble were the safest places to go. And then, of course, Telegram came along. So it was very much, and the trolls got me shut down after 3 months with 40,000 viewers, and now we're back up and we've got 50,000 on there.
I'm sure you've seen the Twitter files. So they realised that shutting people down was backfiring on them, so they quietly shut people down. What they did is they made what they call shadow banning, this sort of thing, so that people, although they were producing brilliant stuff that might well be picked up, they were making sure that this didn't get onto people's timelines, it wasn't being seen, and it was a kind of silent censorship. So anyway, over the last couple of weeks, you've been sort of catapulted because you actually did what, there are billions of pounds worth of mainstream journalists in the West that didn't do their job, aren't there?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, anybody who saw that went, Ukrainian, fought against the Russians, 90 years of age, let's check his background. So I got a hold of a military colleague of mine in an embassy, and he was able to go through some military records. And very quickly I found out, and then I found his blog page with all his with everything on. And I found out that there was a scholarship at the University of Alberta in his name, which was...
Well, this stuff was actually public, wasn't it? I mean, I myself, when I saw his name and I saw the controversy about him, which had kind of been sparked by people like you, that you could just go into Google Translate and translate his blog post, and you can see the guy's a raving Nazi.
Yeah, absolutely. But the trouble is, also with that, is mainstream media should be doing this. They should be holding governments to account. And the fact was that I've been into the Houses of Parliament before when I was honoured. But the thing is, you are thoroughly checked out before you go there. And to say that they didn't know is complete nonsense. They absolutely knew, Tony.
Oh, well, what evidence have you got for that?
yeah, loads of them. So we had his war record. I even managed to find the troop he was in. They shot five people outside of a public house in Slovakia. And one of them was a 15-year-old Russian boy whose only crime was to have a Russian coin in his pocket. That is quite
this is the sort of thing that It's too easy to forget this stuff, isn't it? I know Scott Ritter has been absolutely... He's saying that the Nazis are like rabid dogs, that they need to be shot down like rabid dogs. And yet there is, it seems, this is almost a total taboo in the Western press.
Yes, absolutely. And it's ever since, if you look back to Ukraine before 2022, it's all over the Western press that these Nazis are everywhere in Ukraine. And indeed, the symbol for them is the Black Sun and the Waffen-SS. They put the two together, and that's the signal for the Azov Battalion. There are over now 390,000 people that are affiliated to this movement that are still in Ukraine. That is absolutely shocking. We have a massive Nazi problem. And I'm not on Russia's side. I'm not on Ukraine's side. But these guys are absolute ethnic cleansing lunatics. And they've been killing children, men, women and children in the Donbass for the last 8 years. That may not be the reason that Putin has gone in, but I have a journalist friend of mine is in Donetsk City, and they are dropping cluster bombs on civilians, and there is no military installations anywhere near.
I suppose for someone that's been in the military, it's always rather disgusting to see the military used against civilians. I mean, this has been going on in Palestine for quite a long time. It was, to a certain extent, it was in Northern Ireland, but never as blatant as it seems as it has been. It was in the Nazi era and potentially in other parts of the world today. Why is it, do you think, that the mainstream press is turning a blind eye to all this?
I think they've been told to simply because of the amount of money that's invested in Ukraine. I mean, you have to remember that in 2014, Victoria Nuland, along with the National Endowment for Democracy, God bless them, who are known for overthrowing, it's just a CIA front. Yukanovich was the then president. He didn't want to take the IMF loan. He wanted to take the Russian loan with cheap gas. The EU actually helped overthrow them by asking the government to bring forward the elections, then stand the police down. And Victoria Nuland was handing out cookies and bread and everything in the Maidan Square whilst these right-wing lunatics were absolutely charging into the parliament and shooting people.
So were you surprised to see Trudeau's rather embarrassed resignation of it, or saying that the Speaker was going to resign in his statement?
Yeah, absolutely, because they would have known without a shadow of a doubt. The people that would have known would be the leader of the opposition, the Prime Minister and the Speaker of the House. They are the first three that are informed, and I had that from a source very, very close inside the Canadian
Parliament. Weren't actually expecting this information was getting out there, it was trickling out there, but I think it was only when it was picked up by the B'nai B'rith and the Jewish lobby in Canada that anything happened.
Yeah, absolutely that.
It's almost like they were trying to get away with it. They thought they could get away with it.
It is absolutely staggering, isn't it, the arrogance of it, because now we have the mainstream media and the governments working in lockstep with each other, and before they used to hold each other to account. But now it's whatever the guy who owns the newspaper says, because he can destroy the politician, he can destroy the journalist. So they all walk in lockstep with the people who are running things.
Now, I know you've also got another big story under your belt. Well, it's not quite under your belt. Hopefully it's going to be out there this week, maybe even behind the firewall. Obviously, much of this stuff now is, you've got to use a VPN to view it, because much of the information around the world, particularly from Russia, probably soon China, probably soon Iran too, is being blocked, at least there's attempts to block it. And I remember when China started doing this, there was a massive hoo-ha over here. Oh, the Chinese are trying to cut the world off from their people. Well, hang on, we've just done exactly the same with Russia. But what's that? I know it's to do with child trafficking.
Yeah, we've got some big info on trafficking that's going to come out, and we've also got, which involves fairly high level Ukrainian people and also fairly high level British people and a go-between. We've also got a story...
Stop you a second, because all I've seen is I've seen stories about the Russians doing child trafficking. What they're saying is they are snatching young children orphans mainly, and bringing them over into Russia.
Yeah, and that was blown up at the UN, because when Russia were the chair of the UN, they brought out all these videos showing that the mothers, fathers and everything else were all leaving on ferries. They were all coming to Russia. They were showing the videos of all the kids. And the four countries that got up and walked out of the UN were Moldova, Albania, UK and the USA, because they were caught in lying. Now, these four have been absolutely systemic in this child trafficking thing that's going on, because what happens is the Albanian drug gangs in London have now stopped selling drugs because it's far more profitable to trade in children. So they go to Moldova, where they pick up and pay for false passports. They then go to a Ukrainian orphanage, where they pick up these children and they take these children and they take them to Malta, and then they fly out from Malta to the UK. We don't know what happens to them
Are these on scheduled flights or what?
Oh, yeah, they get them on scheduled flights, because what they do is the child is selected in Ukraine. Then what happens is an Albanian drug trafficking guy will come over. He will pick up false documents from Moldova after paying a sum of money. What will happen then is they will use this to go and pick up a child saying it's their child, and they will fly them out from a destination, normally Malta, and then they come to the UK. What we do know, we don't know addresses and everything else, but they take them from the UK, and if they're travelling to America, they go north, private airfield into Ireland, and then thence from Ireland into America.
I'm a little bit concerned that you're telling me this. Surely you should be telling the Avon and Somerset Police, or you should be telling the National Crime Agency.
There are MI6 people wrapped up in this. When this breaks, when this comes out, there are people all over the place that are wrapped up in this. We're talking people in high-level charities, and a colleague who has got all the information as well as I have went to the NCA and went to them, and the next thing we know is she's had her LinkedIn looked at by one of the people who is involved in this.
Well, hang on, because that implies, doesn't it, that either the National Crime Agency has been infiltrated, so they have organised crime personnel inside the National Crime Agency, or that their computer systems are hacked or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely it does.
It's impossible to prosecute people if they're one step ahead of you.
Yeah, and absolutely it does. That's why probably we have to get it out there as fast as possible for our own safety.
Yeah. What do you think these... do you have any knowledge of what these children are being used for? What destination? It's obviously not good.
Yeah, they're selected in children's homes, so they're taken from the mother, and I'll be able to send you some stuff tonight so you can have it on record. They're selected from children's homes, they're taken from the war-torn areas, put into children's homes, and then there is literally a shopping list for what you want. And the main topic that they're looking for are girls 10 years of age or under with blue eyes. That's the shopping list. That's the main target.
I mean, there might be childless couples that want a kid. I mean, that might, you know, in a sort of almost like unofficial adoption.
Yeah, you don't go through private military companies to adopt a small child. I'm sorry, you really don't.
Okay, so taking a step back from all of this, I think it would be very interesting to see names, particularly if you've got them. And MI6, of course, is quite a good roof for somebody, so they will feel that they have absolute protection in what they're doing. But what's your... Take a step back from the whole thing. What is going on in Ukraine? It's a long way away from the UK. I find it difficult to understand why it's a fight that we need to get involved in.
We don't need to get involved in it whatsoever, because what we're doing is... Ukraine is always a bulwark. So in 1991, they turned around and said, if you let a united Germany join NATO, we will not take one inch further east. Now, at that meeting were Baker, Edward Shevardnadze and Mikhail Gorbachev, and I have the paperwork that states exactly what Baker said. Now, since then, they've let 14 countries join NATO, all surrounding Russia, and Ukraine was the last step. They were told in 2008 that if they carried on with this, there would be repercussions. They didn't think Russia was strong enough. They carried on. They were told again in 2014 They still carried on. And since then, let's face it, if the Warsaw Pact was disbanded, Russia was finished in 1991, NATO was a bulwark against the Warsaw Pact. So you should have disbanded NATO as well. But since then, they've had 14 countries, and now we're going to have a batch more joining NATO.
In my experience, military people take war far more seriously than the civilian population. As an ex-military man, what do you think, or do you think there is any possibility for peace? And if so, where does it lie in Ukraine?
Right, the only possibility for peace is if you let Russia have what they want, because Russia are not going to stop. We see guys over here as political leaders, but in Russia, Putin's seen as a spiritual leader as well. And we all know how hard people fight for spiritual leaders. So you've got the eight oblasts that are mainly Russian-speaking, and he'll want Odessa as well. The West do just want to keep this war rolling. And I'm going to state right here, this war is not finishing in the next 6 months. Not a chance in hell.
Well, are you implying that there isn't any possibility of peace?
No, none at all at the moment, unless the West take a step back. The Russians are not going to quit. And my question is always to these people who say, oh, you know, Putin needs to leave Ukraine and Putin needs to be got rid of. Putin's not going anywhere. They're not leaving Ukraine. What else do you have?
One of the things you don't hear very often over here is the reason that Putin is so popular. He's incredibly popular in Russia. His approval rating is probably greater than any Western leader in Russia. Is, you know, in their own countries, his approval rating is enormous. Is that he's stated that the Russian people will be not one single Russian people will be left. And of course, the Donbass was full of Russian speaking people, and they were being shelled. So, from Ukraine, so you know, after 2014, right up until the Russian invasion. So in a way, this has become almost a racial thing about maybe to do with the language, that he's saying that no Russians will be left to be killed by anybody. And so that's one of the reasons he's so popular. If you're a Russian speaker, Putin is going to make sure that you're never abandoned.
Yeah, absolutely right. And they see this very much as, and you have to remember, they lost 27 million people in World War II, and they killed 80% of the German army. We didn't do it all. They did the main bulk of it. And this for them, the moment, the word Nazi really conjures up very strong feelings in Russia. And let's not forget these people in the Ukraine who are in charge of Ukraine, not the normal Ukrainian people. They are press ganging people into the army. I've got videos of that for you. They are shelling things like maternity units in civilian areas. I can send you videos of that.
Well, we just recently had news, it took about a year to come out, that the missile attack on Poland wasn't the Russians at all. It was actually the Ukrainians. This is back from 2022, almost a year ago. There was a missile attack on Poland, and everyone assumed at the time, it went right the way around the world, as lies tend to do, that it was the Russians that did it. No, it's just this week come out, it was the Ukrainians that fired these missiles.
Yes, well, I was one of the first ones to break the story about, if you remember, a couple of months ago, we had a market that was attacked by a missile. Now, luckily, I've got a friend who's in an embassy, and they have to track these things just in case one of them lands in there, anywhere near their embassy. And they had the heat map from this, and it was fired from a Ukrainian airfield, from a Ukrainian aircraft, and it was misdirected, and it hit the market, and it killed a load of people. But everybody came out and blamed the Russians. And I've actually got the heat map signal. I can tell you exactly what it was fired from and exactly where it came from.
One of the other aspects in Ukraine is Alex Karp and his company Palantir are boasting, and well, they did briefly last Christmas, and then that article was taken down off the Times, that the AI is now being used to target and to launch attacks through the Palantir software. This is, I suppose, is a whole new, you know, I remember back in the spring there was a whole hoo-ha about, well, we really got to watch out for AI. And it seems that Ukraine may be the first battlefields where AI is really being tested.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we had that thing, didn't we, from, I'm trying to remember the Lieutenant General's name, but they tested an AI drone. And it's we gave it a point system if it could take out the targets. And, of course, they would have bought the odd mission. So the drone saw it as though you were taking points off of it. So it actually turned round, in the simulation and attacked its operator. So that sounded absolutely crazy, but it actually happened, and that's why they had to shut the program down for 3 months until they sorted it out.
Well, maybe this AI is a bit more intelligent than people realise. Anyway, where, how do people follow your work, Warren?
People can follow my work by going on to the Frontline, and that is a normal thing, or warrenthornton.com takes you on to the Frontline. And we have lots and lots of videos there, which many people will not have seen, probably. They can also follow me on TikTok at warrenthornton62, also on Twitter at thorntonwa47373, or The Real Truth on Telegram.
Well, Warren Thornton, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you ever so much, Tony. It's been an absolute pleasure.